Hi, I'm Bill DeYoung. This is Arts Alive, the podcast of the St. Pete Catalyst. I'm here today with Lisa Lippincott, who is the director of Softwater Gallery over in the Warehouse Arts District. Hello.
Hello.
I'm so glad you're here because we're talking right before the second Saturday Art Walk, and there's so much to talk about involving that and other things, too. Let me start this way. You've been in town how long? Are you a native?
Or? I feel I'm nativized at this point.
Well, you have to define that.
Well, I was not born here. I moved here. It's been about 30 years ago now. And I grew up in southeastern Pennsylvania. Mm. Did one big move. I come from people who are not particularly nomadic. So if we move at all, we do one big move and then we're kind of done.
Are you Amish?
I am not.
I tried to say that with a straight face. I'm sorry. Of mine just got married in Lancaster, and it's Amish country, and
it
so
is.
It's kind of in my mind.
Yeah, so. my brother actually moved a little bit further south and a little bit further west of where we grew up,
okay.
And so he is basically on the outskirts of Amish country.
So you've been here about 30 years.
I have. Yeah, I arrived here in 1993.
30 years. Were you always, there's lots to talk about. Were you always like an artistic creative type? And what was it like when you got here 30 years ago?
Oh, my.
Tumbleweeds down Central Avenue? And...
Exactly that.
Yeah.
Yes. I have always been affiliated. I've always been arts adjacent my entire life.
I can relate to that.
I studied art in studios from the time I was very, very young. Have always had an interest in it. I never quite figured out how to be an artist. I don't consider myself an artist, although
you're a designer.
I am a designer. Yeah. Yes. Many friends call me an artist. I don't use that word to describe myself. Mm-hmm. To me, an artist is someone who has this burning thing inside of them that they need to express. And I seem to be absent that thing. I do need to be surrounded by art at all times.
Yeah.
That is non-negotiable. Yeah. It does not need to be my art.
That's I can almost relate to that. You know, I'm a writer and some might say I'm parasitic off of other people, but I don't think of it that way, but that's in lieu of myself actually creating something brilliant.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I like being around creative types.
It's very energizing, I find. Yeah. And also, I think my strengths lie in being a good curator and a good editor. My direct fine arts background, I think, makes me much better at that. I can understand the creative process perhaps a bit better than someone who hasn't gone through it.
Well, talk to me about your creative arts background. I mean, did you go to school for, administrative work? Or
I did not. I wanted to be an artist. That was my interest from the time I was very, very little.
Yeah.
And I studied in studios from the time I was, 9 or 10.
Mm.
When it came time to go to college, my parents were like, yes, we supported your arts interest up till now, but
get a real job, kid?
Basically.
Yeah. Oh,
yeah.
Boy, that's a sad old story. I've heard that a million
indeed.
Times.
Indeed. And I kind of got the last laugh because I ended up backing my way into an arts career anyway. Mm-hmm.
So what did you study in school?
I actually went to school for physics, and I realized that I didn't really like advanced math.
Mm.
And so
took you how long to figure that one out?
1 year. So I floundered around quite a lot, and I've done a lot of different things, but I did own an art gallery in town 20 plus years ago.
Gosh. Gallery Enormous.
Gallery Enormous, mm-hmm. Yes. I opened that in 2001. And
where was that?
It was in the 500 block of Central Avenue.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was, at the time, I was two doors away from the Emerald Bar. To the west of me was Arnold's Menswear.
Uh-huh.
To the east of me was, believe it or not, Shapiro Gallery in their first incarnation.
Wow.
Before they moved to Baywalk and then moved to Beach Drive.
So much has changed.
It's changed so much. And the tumbleweeds you spoke of, uh-huh. Oh my goodness, yeah.
I was born and raised here.
Yeah.
You know, I left for a long time, but, you know, I can remember downtown in like the 70s and 80s when it wasn't even tumbleweeds. You know, it's like, you just didn't go down there. There was nothing of interest.
Yeah, well, there was certainly no nightlife, that's right. To be sure. At 5 o'clock, the sidewalks rolled up and everybody left.
Back when I had an interest in nightlife, back in those days, you know, there wasn't any. That's true. That's why we hung out on the beaches for the most part.
Yeah, there were very few restaurants downtown. Bayfront Tower was the only residence downtown that I'm aware of. And
I do remember. I remember when they put up that Hilton across from the Bayfront Center, you know, mm-hmm. I mean, So what is Lippincott Design? This is something that I want to talk with you about what you call publication architect, because I don't know what that means.
Okay. So when I opened that art gallery million years ago, I could not afford to hire an ad agency because I was paying to go to work every day. And so I learned how to do graphic design so that I could put all my own stuff together. And some of my neighboring business owners started hiring me to do things. And then one of the magazines that I was advertising the gallery in started hiring me to do things.
This is all self-taught. You taught yourself how to do this.
Yeah, I did.
Wow.
Yeah. When I get my teeth in something, I dive deep. So,
that just expanded after the gallery.
Yeah,
ended.
Once I closed the gallery, I kind of rolled it into a full-time graphic design career.
Wow.
And I primarily specialized in magazines and larger publications. I worked with the Maddox Business Report for many years, and I was in charge of most of their special publications. They would do pieces on the West Shore District or Lakewood Ranch or various commercial districts in the Tampa Bay area, the greater Tampa Bay area.
Yeah, you know, that's an artistic pursuit, though, isn't it? I mean, you're scratching that itch, right?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
And I'm very much a curator of environment. I like arranging things, so it manifests in lots of ways, mm-hmm. not necessarily in putting brush to canvas, which is how I learned, but it bubbles up in other ways.
So again, you scratch that. It's just like, well, I actually am. And then you're contributing. Even sometimes it's advertising and sometimes it's marketing or whatever, but you're contributing to it makes things cooler around here. And that's kind of a function of art too, right?
Yeah, yeah. And having the gallery so many years ago when things were really at a fairly foundational level, certainly nothing like they are now. Mm-hmm. And after 2 years, I ran out of money and couldn't do it
anymore.
There
we go. There's the rub.
But I feel as though, first of all, I met an incredible array of people.
Sure.
It was through that endeavor that I met people like Bob Devin Jones, and I met so many people that have really just helped to build the fabric of the city as we know it today.
Isn't it funny how you do? You meet lots and lots of people as we go through this, and some of them, you know, sort of fall away the way life is, but mm-hmm. but the ones there were sort of foundational people like Bob, for
like
example,
Bob.
Or like Mark Ailey and Carrie Jettis.
Indeed. Paul Wilborn.
Paul's a great example of that, who sort of go the distance.
Exactly.
And you know they're committed to, you know, working with this town and making it cooler, for lack of a better word.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, you mentioned Bob and 620, and I know you through the context of the Radio Theater Project, which
Correct.
I've been privileged to do a couple of those shows. Are you a theater person too?
I was never a theater person. I got involved with radio theater strictly as an audience member. Mm-hmm. And for many years, I sat in the audience, and I love storytelling. I always have. The human condition is something that is of great interest to me, and mm-hmm. I love people, and I love hearing people's stories. And so I just delighted in going and listening. And they did a fundraiser one year, and it was the final piece of the season. And you could bid, they did a sort of an auction thing, and you could bid to be in a piece. Oh, and so I contributed my donation, and I thought I would get a 2-line cameo or something like that.
And you were like the lead person.
I got like 2 full pages of dense dialogue that I had to do in a Russian accent.
I know how Mimi is and I know how Monty is. Yeah. In a Russian accent.
In a Russian accent. So I tried to remember back to, you know, Boris and Natasha and the cartoons I watched as a child. And so I threw all I had at it. And Bonnie laughed and she said, "Wow, you're kind of good at this. Have you done it before?" And I said, "No." She said, "Would you like to do it again?" I said, "Yes.
Of course.
Absolutely."
Yeah, it's that's how they get you.
So much fun.
Well, you directed some things. I think I was in and you were directing a year or so ago, maybe something like that.
Yeah, I've directed quite a few of the shorts. And that was another sort of accidental thing. It's just saying yes to opportunities. And there was one season when they did an extraordinary number of very, very short pieces. Mm-hmm. And there just weren't enough people available to direct. And so Bonnie sent out a second or third plea saying, "Please, you know, is anybody available?"
So you become a director by
and
default.
And I said, "Well," I said, "I've never done it, but I said, if you want to do a little hand holding and you don't mind me trying it, I'll try it."
It's fun. And the season starts up next month. I just got an email, you might get a call, you know, if you still want to do it. Joey says you still want to do it. About a year ago, you took over as gallery director at Softwater Gallery over in the Warehouse Arts District. It's about a year ago, right?
It was about a year ago, correct.
And my memory of Softwater goes back 2 or 3 years. I've been in this job for a few years, mm-hmm. but I've only been back in town about 9 years. And I knew it as Carrie Space was up there, and it was just kind of a big room where they stuck stuff. But it's a really nice gallery now. What did they say to you? Was it your idea or was it their idea? We want to do this, and will you help us?
It was exactly that. They said, mm-hmm. "We have decided to improve the space. We feel that the space has been underutilized because it had been primarily studio spaces in there for many years.
Right.
And so the gallery area was more of a co-op space. Occasionally shows were curated, but a lot of times it was just the resident artists were putting up their work. So mm-hmm. there wasn't a lot of cohesion to much of the work that was there.
So they said, help us make that
help us
better,
turn this into a real professional formal gallery.
Yeah.
And I said, what's the catch? And there was no catch.
That's always nice.
And I adore Mark and I adore Carrie and I've known them for years and they're uh-huh. very dear friends. And so I'm just so honored that they wanted me to go on this journey with them.
Well, this is like a blank canvas. Excuse the art metaphor coming back, but I mean, you go into
it's
that room.
It's an apt one.
What it is. What can I do with this? What can we do with this space? Mm-hmm. Was it really like that? Did you start to see? Because I've been in there fairly recently. It's really nice. You've done a great job.
Well, thank you.
Well, so was it literally like that though? I walk in and I can see doing this, painting this, putting a partition here. And
they had actually, Mark and Carrie had done most of the work. That space was, first of all, it was not climate controlled up until a year ago.
There was no air conditioning. I thought that was my imagination, but that's right.
It made it incredibly difficult much of the year to do anything that you would want to go to because it was just a big sweat box in there. The space was great. It had great bones, but it needed a little love.
Yeah.
And so it's now climate control. We can show works on paper and we don't have to worry that they're going to get damaged due to humidity and things
curled
like
up
that.
And,
exactly.
Yeah.
And it's just a much more pleasant space to visit. You can go in there and it's not sweltering inside.
So they did all the build out work is what you're saying?
They did.
So they brought you in as a curator.
They did. Yeah. Okay. They had already figured out what they wanted to do in terms of buttoning up the space. And they said, look, we've we've decided to do this. The construction's going to be starting imminently. We don't want to run the gallery. We have our own art careers. We've got plenty to keep us busy.
Right.
But we want a gallery space.
Yeah.
And we like you. We get along with you. We know you have vision. Will you do this with us?
Were you ready at some point to say, yeah, I'd like to get back into this? I mean, it had been a number of years,
yeah,
almost 20, really.
I will always tell people that curating that gallery and having that gallery space was my favorite thing vocationally that I've ever done.
Right.
I've done a lot of things. That just resonated with who I am and what I love in this world. And then I just kept seeing, well, first of all, back then there was no market. There weren't that many people here.
Things have changed.
Things have changed a lot.
Yes.
And as the people who have the means to buy work and have an interest in buying work have moved into the area in greater numbers, the rents have crept up and crept up and crept up. And I honestly, maybe 3 or 4 years ago, I remember looking on a commercial real estate site, and the old space on Central Avenue that I used to rent, and I think I paid about $1,000 a month for,
mm-hmm.
it was up for rent again. And it was $8,800 a month.
Welcome to St. Petersburg.
And you were expected to be responsible for all the upkeep on the building, mm-hmm. paying the taxes, paying the building insurance. And I didn't have any of those extras. Mine was just a straight, you know, I paid my rent. The landlord kept up the building. They paid the taxes and insurance. And I just thought, how can anyone...
This is what they call the soft white underbelly of the great, you know, artistic renaissance that's happened here. Is that artists, in many cases, are just being priced out of the city.
Indeed.
You know, and that's another conversation,
Certainly.
What's at Softwater right now? Because we have a... Do you have something opening this week?
I do have something
opening. Oh, well, let's talk about that.
Yes, let's. So I'm very excited. We're going to be opening a show called Open to Interpretation, and it's work by Carrie Jadis. Carrie Jadis. And
is it Jadis or Jadis, Carrie? I've known you for years, and I still don't remember.
You know, I slip back and forth. It's Jadis, but yeah. I don't know why I occasionally slip into Jadis.
Sorry, Carrie.
I think before I actually met her, I read it that way when I would see it in print,
yeah.
And it still bubbles out that way sometimes.
Well,
I apologize, Carrie.
Yeah, we did a couple of video interviews when I was doing this thing called the Catalyst Sessions, and she was on there a couple times, and I may have called her Jadis a time or two, and she quickly corrected me.
Yeah.
And so anyway, continue, please.
So to continue, yeah. Carrie's show, this is work that may be less familiar to people because everyone knows Carrie's beautiful Blue Nude series. Mm-hmm. She's very well known for that. They're also well familiar with her sort of impressionistic landscape paintings. This work is wholly abstract, and it's based on the Rorschach Inkblot series. And it was...
Well, that's intriguing.
Yeah.
Isn't it? Yeah.
They're really beautiful, powerful pieces.
Yeah.
And these are all large scale. And the genesis for this series for her was the early days of the COVID lockdown. And she said that she was really excited pre-COVID that she had gotten to a place in her career where she could afford to say no to doing commissions all the time.
I remember her saying that.
And then all of a sudden the world was thrown into chaotic uncertainty. We didn't know what was going to be happening in a week, in a month, in a year. And so she said, I didn't even know if people were going to care about art anymore. You know, so many larger things were happening.
It's a scary time.
It was really scary. And so she said she took, you know, what commission work was available. And she said she just started to feel this, all this doubt was really weighing on her. And she started to feel this real creative block. And so she said as a young girl, when she would have difficulty coming up with an idea or a seed for creating, she would do this exercise where she would just scribble on a piece of paper with no direction. She would just let the pencil travel where it may. And then she would stare at these scribbles, and she would start to, much like if you were looking at the clouds, you start to see shapes in the clouds. And she would tease out these shapes in these scribbles that she had done. And those would be the seeds for the ideas. And she said, I would come up with all these amazing ideas that would have never occurred to me if I hadn't gone with
and
this.
She's using paint. We're not talking about drawing, or this is actual paint.
Well, these are done with paint.
That's what I'm saying.
Genesis of this was the scribbles. Yeah. And so she started to think about that process that she had used all these years. And she thought about the similarity to the Rorschach ink blot tests. Yeah. And so she thought, that's it. I'm going to do Rorschach blots. And they are just extraordinary.
What's the name of the exhibition?
It's called Open to Interpretation.
Open to Interpretation. Yeah. I mean, Rorschach, did she do like mirror images?
They are. They're very symmetrical. So she painted one side and then folded them over so that they're completely symmetrical. And then she's gone back in and they're either white on black or black on white, but then she's gone in many of them and embellished with gold just to accentuate. And then they're all sealed and beautiful, and they're just so dramatic. And
that's unusual for her. I mean,
it's very exciting.
I look forward to that.
And she really enjoyed creating them.
There's going to be a reception Saturday.
Be a reception Saturday night. Yeah, in conjunction with Art Walk.
Okay, it's 5 to 9. We should give a plug to Art Walk.
Absolutely.
I wanted to ask you, because the last time I was over there, what happens during Art Walk over there at Warehouse Arts District?
Well, lots of things happen. We're on the Arts Exchange campus, and so there's lots going on. The Arts Exchange has a couple dozen plus art studios.
Yeah.
Many of the artists open their studios so that you can tour them. Ordinarily, they're not available to visit, so that's really great.
There's Softwater, and then
there's MGA Sculpture Studio,
and
the Tully Levine Gallery. Yeah. Everything is open. There's also the Burka Lounge. There's 7C Music on campus, which often hosts concerts.
Tunes, beers, and coffee.
Yeah, how can you go wrong? Uh-huh. Oftentimes there are food trucks out for Art Walk as well. And it's just, the campus is just alive with energy and excitement.
That's what I was kind of thinking, that it's just, it's almost like when you go there during the week, it's nice and everything. But it is kind of like vibrant.
It is, absolutely. It's a great social event. And I always tell people, it's not a great night to go and really be with the artwork, because a lot of people come out.
Mm-hmm. But
it's a great night.
It's communal, right?
It's communal, and it's also a really great night to get an overview of the artwork that's available in town, because you can go and experience a lot, and then you can say, I really am interested in this. I want to go back and explore that in more depth.
Yeah.
And so that's what I tell people, you know, go out and find what you like and then go back and spend more time with it.
This is the St. Petersburg Arts Alliance's monthly second Saturday Art Walk. Listen to this voice here. It's my radio voice. That's happening this Saturday, which is September 9th. It is the 9th, isn't it?
It is the 9th.
From 5 to 9 p.m. And check the catalyst, because we publish the map. And if you go on the Arts Alliance's website, they publish a map too. They'll tell you everybody that's open and kind of what they're doing. And what you can be doing too. Do you have like food and bev and happy reception stuff?
We have a donation bar, and we usually have some little nibbles out.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Excellent. We've been talking with Lisa Lippincott, who is the director of Softwater Gallery in the Warehouse Arts District, and a longtime arts face, multi-hatted creative, she calls herself. If you go and look at her, I think it's her LinkedIn page.
So many hats.
Yeah, there you go. You left them all in the car today.
I did.
Such a pleasure to talk to you today.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been delightful.
It has been great from this end too. And so we will see you very, very soon.
Yes. Hopefully at the gallery. Come visit.
Saturday.
And also we're open Thursday, Friday, and Saturday from noon to 6 p.m. Also by appointment.
Well, Lisa Lippincott, thank you so very much.
Thank you.